ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनां उपमश्रवस्तमम् सीदसादनं श्री महागणाधिपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारंभां शंकराचार्यमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् परस्तस्मात्तु भावोऽन्यः अव्यक्तो व्यक्तात् सनातनः यस्स सर्वेषु भूतेषु नश्यत्सु न विनश्यति. We are talking of a bhava. Bhava is reality. What is called bhava. Bhavati iti bhava. You see, while learning Sanskrit in the childhood, there are two kinds of words in Sanskrit, mainly subanta, tinganta. The nouns and the verbs. The first noun that we by hearted is Ramaha, Rama, Ramaha. That is the first word. Rama meaning the inner joy. That is what Rama is. Ananda. Ramayate iti Ramaha. Ananda. Then the first verb which we have by hearted is Bhavati, Bhavataha, Bhavati. And we by hearted along with the name of the verb, Bhusattayam. It is bhu. Its meaning is satta. Satta is the being. That is the first verb. First noun is the joy. The first verb is the being. Now the being and the joy, are they separate? No. They are one and the same. So the joy of being. That is the truth. Now we give so many names to it. Sometimes we call it Rama, sometimes we call it Krishna. So, whatever name you give to it, so some people argue that it is Saguna, some people argue that no, it is Nirguna. But it is neither Saguna nor Nirguna. Whatever you can describe about it is not. So, suppose people are arguing about sleep. Sleep is this way, sleep is that way. Whatever they argue about sleep, that is not sleep. Anyway, so some people call it Sakara. It has a form. Some other people, they take a stand, a very firm stand. No, it cannot be. It is Nirakara. It doesn't have any form. Only yesterday night I consulted, it has no form. It is Nirakara. That is how some people say. But the fact is, it is not Nirakara. It is not Sakara also. Don't think that it is Sakara. It is not Nirakara. It is not Sakara. You see, the beauty is, the truth is always paradoxical. The truth is like that. Because, you know, the truth contains both the poles in it, and yet it transcends. That is what truth is. Suppose there is good and there is bad. You see, as long as there is a world, its contradictions will be there. You cannot have a world without contradictions, because it is the manifest. So in the world, in one time, there is perfect peace and harmony. But it won't remain like that. It will degenerate into conflicts and wars. But again, it will not remain like that. It will regain its peace and harmony. So it is a time-bound thing. Similarly, the opposites will be there. The good, the bad will be there. Suppose you say, the good is the reality. Then what about the bad? That reality what you are talking, it is a duality. So you have broken the reality into pieces, and good is the reality, then bad is there, opposite to the good. So that is not reality. So reality is that which includes both good and bad, and yet transcends both. That's why the reality, the Atman, is yes to everything, and it is no to everything, and yet it is not yes, not no. It is like that. Therefore, all paradoxes are not the truth, but the truth is always paradoxical. Because it cannot be anything other than paradoxical. So because it contains both the poles in it. So it contains the Ratri, it contains the Ahaha, and therefore it is neither Ratri nor Ahaha. It contains the Bhutva, it contains the Praliyate, and therefore it is neither of those. So that's why you should not be disturbed by paradoxes. You should welcome paradoxes. Because when we get disturbed by paradoxes, we are throwing a screen of resistance to what is. And so you welcome the paradoxes. And in welcoming the paradoxes, you transcend the paradoxes. So that is how it has to be done. Anyway, the bhava, that is the truth, that is the reality. This reality, suppose we postpone it. Suppose we say, the reality we will gain in heaven. Suppose somebody says like that, there is always somebody who says the reality is in heaven. Reality is the joy of being, and what you are seeking, that is the reality, that is in heaven. So, that means you have pushed it away in space and also in time. Because heaven is not now. One has to die to reach heaven. Therefore, you have pushed the reality away. So, in pushing away the reality, you cannot push away the reality, but you can only remove, keep yourself away from the reality. Because it is like one person, he wanted to have the darshan of space devata. Akasha Devata, you know, Prithivi Devata, Vayur Devata, Chandrama Devata, Akasha Devata. And then this Akasha Devata, he wanted to have the darshan. Then he asked, he consulted around. Somebody told, Akasha Devata is in your room. He is living in a single room tenement. And so that Mahatma told that Akasha Devata is in your room. Oh, in my room? Not only in your room, in your heart also Akasha Devata is there, Hridaya Akasha. So that is how Chandogya Shruti says, Dhara Akashaha, Asmin Nantaha, Anveshtavyaha, Vijijnyasitavyaha. There is an Akasha in you. Akasha, Akasha is very important. Pay attention to Akasha. Akasha is Brahma, you know. Akasha Shariram Brahma. So there is an Akasha in you. Oh, in me? Yeah, in the heart. Heart means what? Heart itself is like a mushti, and within that how much can be there? Akasha. Only this much. I make a mushti like this, in which mushti there is something inside. You tell me what is that something inside the mushti? Angushta. Therefore Akasha is Angushta Matraha. That is the Akasha, right? So, like the thumb space. Very simple, very small. That's why Shruti says, yes, it is small, Dharaha, Dhara Vidya. It is small Akasha, but then paradox, Jyayan Prithivyaha. This is Dhara Akasha, that is the God. Search there, Anveshtavyaha, search within, there you search. And Vijijnyasitavyaha, try to know that Akasha. So, then we are talking of the reality which spans the entire universe, and you are talking of a small Akasha, Dahara. No, Jyayan Prithivyaha, that Akasha is bigger than Prithivi. Prithivyaha Panchami Ekavachanam. Jyayan Antarikshat, Jyayan Divaha, Jyayan Sarvebhyo Lokebhyaha. It is bigger. This is the paradox. That means it is neither small nor big. It contains the opposites of small and big in it, and yet transcends it. This is the very critical. It is, you see, I can say like that, and I can go on saying, so it is superior, it is para, and it is something that only rishis have seen or discovered in the heart. Vedahametam purusham mahantam, I have understood. Like that a rishi declared. So that's okay, but what about us? What about you and me? We are exploring it together, you know. Can we discover, or we have to wait till reaching heaven? Is it a postmortem thing, or is it now and here? Is it a credit religion or cash religion? That is how it is. Credit religion means what? He will give you something which you can use only later, if at all. So they have given me a few things which I could never use. Why they are giving me? He gives me a piece of paper. In the flight, I was about to enter into a flight, and this representative comes to me and he announces my name on the system. I was stunned. My God, in America, in this piece of heaven called the airport, my name coming from the... And first I thought it is somebody else's name. So many other names are coming, but this name, my name it is. I was shaken. Because somehow this name, I always felt a distance with the name. I never felt that closeness with the name. Therefore, when that name is said, whose name it is, then I remembered it is my name. Then I went to this young lady and said, I understand you called my name. Okay, what is your name? I told, yeah, we call your name. For what? So you take it. So it is a upgrade ticket. This upgrade ticket, I was very happy. I would have been even happier if they upgraded me there. But there and there, they are not upgrading me. I asked, why not upgrade now? Now we don't upgrade. Then when will you upgrade? So you have to travel another 5,000 miles, then we will upgrade. That's why this ticket is being given to you. And I could never use the ticket. So this is called credit religion, you know. So not like that. Cash, now and here. Cash religion. So we want this bhava now. No, this bhava is paraha. Tu, you know, there is a tu. That tu is like a wall, I tell you. Wherever you find tu in Gita, you draw a line here and put this thing on this side and that thing on that side. Don't mix up. That tu is like that. So, you see, it asks, do you want a line in between? Like that it asks, the software asks. I say, yes. Then it puts a line. That is the tu. Tu is the line between the time-bound and the timeless. Parastasmattu bhavonyaha. We are interacting with bhava only. Flower means flower is. It is the isness. Clock is isness. Bhava only. But not that bhava. Tu. Paraha bhavaha. The bhava which is paraha. Which is sanatanaha. And also which is... Yaha sa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashyati. That is the third description of the bhava. Saha bhava, that bhava. Which bhava? Yaha, which bhava? Navinashyati. Doesn't get extinguished or doesn't get destroyed. When? Vinashyatsu. While there is destruction all around. Sarveshu bhuteshu. You see, there is a conflagration. Of fire, everything is getting burnt. But there is one thing, even metals are getting burnt and melted. There is one thing that doesn't get burnt. Can you tell me what is that? Fire itself. That is the only answer, there is no other answer. Because fire doesn't get burnt, water doesn't get wet. Ice cannot become cold because it is cold. So, sarveshu bhuteshu vinashyatsu, when all these beings, they are merging in the flow of time and they are disappearing, getting destroyed. Total annihilation is going on. Sarveshu bhuteshu vinashyatsu. Yet this bhava na vinashyati, it doesn't get destroyed. it remains intact. So that kind of a bhava we want. That is the bhava. And we want it now and here. Either you get it now and here, or you will never get it. There is no question of getting that bhava in future, I tell you. As long as you put it in the future, it will remain in the future. Therefore, one day you should decide, okay, enough of this future business. Let me do it now. Which day you decide that way, that day you get it. Now that day it is today or tomorrow, you decide again. So, that's why the vastu, the reality, we should never put it in the future. Because the idea of the future itself becomes a cover. It puts a veil before the eyes. Therefore, that bhava you have to discover. And such a bhava which cannot be perceived. Avyaktaha, avyaktaha bhavaha. Therefore, don't try to grasp it with perception and also conception. All your, because we are accustomed to this mentation. So, the process of mentation, we are accustomed to that. And we live a life like that. And we think that is the, that contains everything. The process of mentation, it has everything. Because it has the entire universe, why not God also? No, it doesn't contain. The process of mentation can be useful in understanding and interacting with the empirical world only. Only that much. The reality is not part and parcel of the empirical world. It is not. It is a yes to the empirical world in the sense that the empirical world has originated from it. It is a no to the empirical world in the sense that the empirical world has no existence in that reality. Matsthani sarva bhutani, nacha matsthani bhutani. It is a yes and it is a no. And yet, so it says yes and always it is yes and no. And the transcendental. The transcendental reality is always like that. Therefore, that kind of a bhava we have to discover. And it must be timeless. Means, where is this timelessness? That also you should make things clear. Where do you get this timelessness? Suppose you get timelessness, you are already out of the bounds of time and you are already in the embrace of the reality. Therefore, you have to look for timeless. And that is sanatanaha. You see, today is the present. Okay, today is the present. The moment you said today is the present, it is not present anymore. Because it is today preceded by yesterday and succeeded by tomorrow. That is not present anymore. It is the past flowing into the present, continuing its journey onward into the future. That is the flow of time only. That is how the flow of time is. So, when I wake up, a fresh, new person wakes up, or the same old person wakes up. The same old person wakes up. That is how we wake up. That's why Shankara, Ratasmarami Hrudi Samspurad Atma Tattvam. Samspurad, there is no pastness in it. There is no futureness in it. It is the present. It is the presence. It is ever fresh, ever new. It is never a repetition. It is never the same old. That kind of a thing it is. That means we have to really shake our head. We have to shake off what all funny ideas and notions that we have accumulated, so much garbage that we have accumulated in the mind, so all that garbage, ruthlessly you have to reject and remain totally empty. Nothing remains in the mind, totally empty. That emptiness is not blankness. It is like the emptiness of a womb, it is, from which a new life will come out. That kind of an emptiness. So from that emptiness of the mind, which is a no mind, arises the creativity. That is the Rishi's Vakyas. సర్వం కల్విదం బ్రహ్మ నేహ నానాస్తి కించన. ఆల్ దిస్ ఈస్ వన్ బ్రహ్మన్, ద ప్లూరాలిటీ ఈస్ నాట్ దేర్. దిస్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఎ స్టేట్మెంట్ మ్యానుఫ్యాక్చర్డ్ బై ది సోఫిస్టికేటెడ్ ఇంటలెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఎ రిషి. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఎ స్టేట్మెంట్ క్రియేటెడ్ బై ది ఇంటలెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఎ రిషి. ఇట్ ఈజ్ ఎ స్టేట్మెంట్ దట్ కేమ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది ఎంప్టీనెస్ ఆఫ్ ఎ మైండ్. ఇట్ ఈజ్ అపౌరుషేయం వాక్యం. ఇఫ్ ఇట్ కమ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ది ఇంటలెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఎ రిషి, దెన్ ఇట్ బికమ్స్ పురుష వాక్య. దెర్ విల్ బి ది నేమ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆధర్ బిసైడ్స్ ఇట్. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ పౌరుషేయ, ఇట్ ఈస్ అపౌరుషేయ. అపౌరుషేయ మీన్స్ వాట్? అపౌరుషేయ మీన్స్ విల్ ఇట్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎ బుష్ ఆర్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎ స్టోన్? దట్ ఈస్ అపౌరుషేయ. సపోజ్ ఎ స్టోన్ సేస్ సంథింగ్, దట్ ఈస్ అపౌరుషేయ? నో, నాట్ లైక్ దట్. దట్ ఈస్ నాట్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ అపౌరుషేయ. హియర్ అపౌరుషేయ కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎ పురుష. పురుష ఇస్ ఎ పర్సన్. ది అపౌరుషేయ కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది పురుష. వాట్ ఈస్ ఎ పురుష? పురుష ఇస్ ది బాడీ మైండ్. ఫర్గెట్ అబౌట్ బాడీ ఫర్ ఎ వైల్ బికాస్ వీఆర్ టాకింగ్ ఆఫ్ ది నాలెడ్జ్. So anything that comes from the intellect can only be a product of all the vasanas or the proclivities that are present in that intellect only. What else can it be? However sophisticated or however highly informed I am, still I have a host of vasanas in me, and whatever I say is a product of those vasanas. So apaurusheyam vakyam means it is coming from the emptiness of the mind, which is the creative mind. And so this bhava you can recognize only when you empty the mind first. First make it akasha. Akasha, it is not blank. Akasha is not blank. Akasha is a avakasha. It can contain everything in it. And it contains everything in it. And it can take in everything into it. That is what akasha is. Atmana akasha sambhutaha. Therefore, that akasha you should have. Akasha-like heart you should have. Then you can get a glimpse of that bhava. And that bhava you can clearly see. It has no birth and it has no death. I'll give you an example. See, I asked a person, suppose I ask one of you now, just you imagine, I ask one of you now and put your hand on my hand. You put it. Then I ask you to close the eyes. So I am doing both, myself and also the one who is touching my hand, both roles I am playing. You know, sometimes people play games like that, you know, some cards game. So you play this side and distribute the cards and play it, and then go to the other side and distribute the card like that. And while going to the other side, forget everything here and see that. So like that. So the other person holds my hand. I ask him, close the eyes. Okay, he closed the eyes. Now you tell me, what is it that you feel? It is a thing that happened. Like that you look at it. Yeah, he says, I feel your hand. Come on. Don't make it so heavy with your vasanas. Just say. You think, you say what you feel, I am asking. What is it that you feel? You look at your feeling and you tell me correctly. Don't make it so heavy. Your hand, Swami Tattvavidanandaji's hand, all that you are feeling. So don't make it so heavy. Make it less logical and less linguistic. So what is it that you feel? I feel hand. Thank God. At least. So he made it impersonal. You know, the reality is not personal. You never feel my hand. You feel only hand. What do you mean by my hand? Your hand means where is that yourness in it? That yourness in it is not there. You have put it there, right? You are manufacturing. You don't manufacture, don't synthesize. Tell me what you feel. It is not my hand that you feel. So the person got the message. People don't get the message also generally, but he got the message. So suppose you question me, what are you talking, sir? We are feeling your hand only, then I don't have an answer. Now I am already defeated. Because I cannot produce logic for that. Because it is something beyond logic. You never feel my hand, you feel only hand. That yourness, it is an adjective that your mind has created, manufactured and added to the feeling. Do you agree with me to that point? Okay. Then I asked him, you say you feel my, you feel the hand. You think again properly. You stay with the feeling. Don't stay with the mind. Don't use your intellect to translate the feeling. Don't give me the translated version of the feeling. Tell me what is the feeling. Still a word has to be used. If he, generally you cannot use a word. Feeling cannot be described in a word. But still you use a word. Like I ask you to eat a laddu, the sweet ball, and ask, you tell me, how does it taste? How can you tell? Can you tell the taste? You can never tell the taste. How can you describe the taste? You can never describe the taste. The only way to describe the taste is make a piece of that sweet and put it in the other person's hand and ask him to put it in the mouth, and now you keep quiet. Then he understood it. How can you describe the taste? Therefore, we all formed a convention that we will call this taste as a sweetness. That is a convention, a human mind's convention. It is not the convention of 2008. It is a convention which is 2000 years old or 5000 years old. That's why when I am living here, I am not the human being of this year or this generation. I have a million years of humanity in me. Right? Physically, in the form of genetics, the genes. The genes are evolved, they have evolved. If I have a gene, chromosome, this and that, that is the outcome of a billion years evolution. Therefore, I have a billion years in me. And then the mind, the human mind, which I call my mind, it is an evolution of millions of years. Because mind is nothing more than language. Language and mind, they are one and the same. Mind is the language. The child has no mind and the child has no language. Eventually it acquires a mind and a language together. Nama and Rupa. Nama is the language, Rupa is the mind. Therefore, so when you have a language, you have the entire history of mankind in you. You think that you are an individual in this time only. You are not in this time only. You are in all time. All time is in you. The past is in you and all the futurology is in you. Now. Anyway, coming back to the point, you tell me, what is it that you feel? Don't translate the feeling into mental forms and mental ideas. You tell me what is it that you feel. You can only say that I feel the pressure and warmth, nothing else. You cannot say hand. Because you think about it, you never feel hand. You feel only the pressure and the temperature, the warmth of the hand. That is all what you feel. But unfortunately, we miss what we feel because we are accustomed to translating the feelings into mental forms. Therefore, instead of feeling the pressure and warmth, the mentation, it intervenes and it translates that feeling into Swami TV's hand. Right? Now, in this I will show you the time-bound and timeless, and the avinashi and vinashi. All that you can see in this. Okay? So, what is time-bound? So, I feel your hand, that your hand is time-bound. It will die. It will disintegrate. Even now it is disintegrating. Okay? So, your hand is bhutva bhutva praliyate. It is gone. Then the feeling itself is time-bound. You remove the hand, it is gone. But there is a core or a sense of that feeling, that sense of being. that consciousness and its source, that source of that consciousness is the being. Being is the consciousness. They are not two different things. So, the source of that feeling, in fact, the feeling, if you just take the same example and remove this person situation from it, and remove the hand also, hand is also a mental translation of the feeling. You never feel hand. You feel only pressure, and you translate, the mind translates the feeling of pressure into hand, because it is accustomed to categorize like that. And so, in fact, I will go ahead one more step and say, only when you have categorized already the feeling, you translated the feeling into a hand, then only you are comfortable. If you feel something and there is a delay in translating, you will be disturbed. Right? Therefore, that is our habit. Every feeling has to be translated. And you think that the translation is the truth. Come on, translation is not the truth. Translation is your mind's translation, your mental picture. It is relative to your mind. That is not the truth. The truth is the feeling. Even the feeling is not the truth. The essence of the feeling, the consciousness, is the truth. Even the consciousness is not the truth. The origin of that consciousness is the truth. Even the unmanifest is not the truth. That which transcends all these divisions and categories and related relatives, that is the truth. And that truth, how are you going to describe? You can only be that truth. You cannot know that truth. You can only be that truth. Therefore, so you can only say, I feel the pressure. Nothing more than that. I feel the pressure. And the feeling is real. The feeling, the essence, is real. When you go to a movie, you feel a movie there. A drama, you feel. Feel means through eyes you see. See means you feel it. A drama. That what you feel is anityam, mithya it is. What you feel is mithya. The fact that you feel alone is the truth. I tell you, what you see is unreal. The fact that you see is alone real. What you hear is all unreal. The fact that you hear is real. The dream world that you have experienced is unreal. But the fact of seeing the dream alone is the fact. That is not anything unreal. All mental translation is unreal. It is a superimposition. It is not real. You have to arrest the habit of mental translation. You have to stop the process of mentation for a while. That is called meditation. That is called nididhyasana. And then you are face to face, if I may say so, with the bhava. And that is now and here. In fact, it is the timeless. Therefore, you have to gradually train yourself to raise above the mentation. I am not saying be mindless. I am not saying that. Use the mind. I am saying that. The example which I like is, I have a pair of legs and I use them when I want to use. I walk. So just now I went there and came back. I use them. Suppose I start using now, I am moving them, you know, then how do you feel? You feel silly. Suppose I cannot stop it. Thank God I stopped it. So suppose I cannot stop it. What is that? Is it normal or is it a sickness? It is a sickness. So a pair of legs I have, I should use them. They should not use me. Suppose the pair of legs are such that they always move, and always they will be moving, and I want them to stop, but they will be moving. So then that is what? It is a sickness, and I have to go to a doctor, and he has to give an electrical shock to me. So I tell you, in Vedanta also, we need a shock. A mental shock is what we need. If you are looking for some consolation and charming, it won't work. We need a mental shock. so that we transcend the mind and you are face to face with the reality. Because the bhavaha is paraha. So you have to train the mind not to intervene. Mind will be there. You know, mind is mind purpose, you know, what is the purpose of mind? A human being is a social animal. So in interacting with the society, you need mind. In interacting with the objects of the world, either you take it or you throw it, you need a mind. For the functional bodily functions, I mean to keep the body going, etc., you need the mind. To know the Atman, you don't need the mind. In fact, mind is an obstacle. Yato vacho nivartante apraapya manasa saha. You can convert the mind into a friend. It is the enemy. You can convert it into a friend. Then it can take you to the reality. I am not presenting the mind as an enemy. The way it is now, it has become an enemy. As Sri Krishna said, anātmanastu shatrutve vartet atmaiva shatruvat. Atmaiva is manaha eva. Mind alone is functioning as an enemy because it is intervening. It is like two heads of the state are talking with each other and the secretary intervenes in between. The secretary is not supposed to intervene. But at the same time, that doesn't mean the secretary can leave everything and run away. So the secretary is there. I want to use his services, I will use. But when I don't want his services, he should keep quiet and wait for me to give a signal to start functioning. Mind should be like that. Mind is a tool, instrument, and I want to use it like legs. A pair of legs I use, not all the time. What is our life, you tell me? Are we using the mind or is mind using us? The mind is using us in a gross sense and also in a subtle way. The gross sense is when I want to stop thinking, I cannot stop thinking. Forced thinking and involuntary thinking. I want to do some meditation. Now my mind doesn't cooperate. Very gross way in which the mind has become a problem. Then that gross problem of the mind is known to everybody. We think and then become sad and afraid. So that is the gross problem. But there is a very subtle issue with the mind. In a very subtle way it intervenes. And it keeps us away from the truth. Like away from the Akasha. I told you the example of this gentleman. Akasha Devata. So now he has undertaken, that story I did not complete, now I am completing. So that gentleman, he has to find the Akasha Devata. He has undertaken a pilgrimage tour to Akasha Devata. And it is a 5-day journey. He has to go there into Himalayas or some place is there. And in that cave it is there. And so he is there. So we are like that. We are the people like that. Anyway, so the mind, in a very subtle way, it prevents the truth to reveal itself. Truth has to reveal itself. Mind is like the mirror. Always mirror versus sun. The mirror cannot invite the sun. The mirror can keep itself clean. The sun is always there. The sun will reflect in the mirror when the mirror is clean. Similarly, the mind, if it doesn't intervene, if it works as a tool and does not intervene, does not cover up the truth, so then the truth is always there. It is sanatanaha, it is timeless, it is always there. And time is in the movement of mind. Time is movement, you know, time is movement. And movement of what? Movement of mind. Therefore, in fact, it is mind is the movement. Movement is the mind. That is how. Like wave. Wave is what? Wave is movement. Anyway, therefore the mind should not intervene. How does it intervene? I tell you another example. One example I told you, how mind intervenes. I'll give you another example. This is a, people have to practice this because mind has to be trained, you know. See, there is a thing called local consciousness and there is a thing called God consciousness. So local consciousness is what? So this is a table, this is book, these are people, I am this, so this is this, this is local consciousness. This is flower. That is also part and parcel of the local consciousness. Whereas God consciousness is different. God consciousness means God has to come and stand before me, then I become conscious of God, not that way. Or I become conscious of God when I go to heaven. That is not the point. You have to become God conscious, no one here. Then if God should be there, you know. If God is there, then only I will become conscious of God. Then God is not there, how can I become conscious of God? That is the problem, you know. God is there. In fact, God is. In fact, what is God. So the problem is you have to become conscious. So how? For example, take this child. The child is there. The child is consciousness, a conscious being. But the child does not have local consciousness. For example, the child does not say mother, father. The idea is not there. That's why the word is not there. Once the idea comes, the word will also come. I mean, normally. So the child is not conscious of father, mother, etc. The child is conscious of all sensations. The child sees. The child hears. The child knows the smells. The child tastes. It has all perception it has. Only mentation is not there. So, all perceptions are there. How is the world of a child? It is something unimaginable. Because you are looking at a situation where the entire mental translation is absent. That is the child situation. A jnani is always compared with a child. Balavata. So, now, this child, how does it become conscious of the local? Local conscious, how does it become? So, straight away, it is not having local consciousness, but we train the child. What we do, oh, this child doesn't know that I am father, he doesn't know that I am mother, forget about the child, and so you walk away? No. So, you go to the child, and put the hands like this, and you smile. The sensations are there, the perception is there, its translation is not there, mental translation is not there. Then slowly you help it to acquire the idea. The thing is there, but idea slowly it acquires. Then it says, it knows, now it knows mother, it knows father. The child went to the shop, the grocery shop, a small grocery shop in India. So, the child saw the chocolate. The chocolate is there in a box, in a glass vessel, transparent vessel. So the children see it all the time. They keep it transparent. They don't keep it a normal box. Nobody knows what is there inside. Not like that. It is always a glass vessel. The child sees it. The child is conscious of the chocolate because the parents have fed the chocolate earlier. So it has already become conscious of the chocolate, otherwise it won't ask for chocolate. But the child is not yet conscious of money. So the child grabbed one chocolate, about to grab. That fellow, he doesn't have any courtesy, so the courtesy in all that is only developed countries. We have other important things for that. We don't believe in courtesy and all that. He just closed it. No, money, you give money and I will give you chocolate, clean. So first money. So then the child was surprised, baffled. Why he stops me? It is the chocolate and I am taking it. Why this fellow stops me? What is wrong with him? Because the child doesn't know. The child looks at the mother. Then mother takes out 1 rupee from the purse and gives to the fellow. And then the fellow, now he smiles. Earlier he never had a smile. Now he picks up the chocolate and gives to the child himself. He doesn't give to the mother. He directly gives to the child with a smile. Now the child has become conscious of money. Next time it won't ask for chocolate. It will go and ask the mother for rupee. In fact, the child is crying for rupee. The mother doesn't have. I saw it. Then I had a rupee. I gave to the child. Now the child is conscious of Swami. So, anyway, this is how the child's mind is trained to fit into local consciousness. We have to train our mind similarly to fit into God consciousness, I tell you. You train the mind to fit into God consciousness, you are conscious of God here and now. Paraha bhavaha. You don't train for some reason or the other. Some people, they are in the world, they think the Vedanta etc. can wait, so they think that way, and so they are world conscious but not God conscious. Therefore they have to undertake a pilgrimage etc. for God, to know God, their conception of God. So the God consciousness is away. Now we come to Vedanta. So now are we God conscious? We have to look into ourselves. If we are not God conscious, then what Vedanta are we reading or studying? So still we are studying Gita only. Gita is the Vedanta, Bhashya is there, Upanishad Shruti is there. So how can we say what Vedanta? They are the Vedanta. That means they are okay, but our mind is not okay. The Karana Dosha. So the Karana Dosha, the instrument is wrong. The mind is not okay. The mind is at fault. So you have to train the mind. So now in Vedanta, the entire emphasis should be on training the mind. Because bhava, you need not do anything about bhava. It is. What is the Brahman. And you are the Brahman and the whole world is the Brahman. Neha nanasti kinchana. So it is the mind which is just become an obstacle in the way. An impure mind is an opaque mind. Spiritual opacity, it is a very trans. It can pick up all the worldly things, but because of a worldly mind is opaque spiritually, it cannot be God conscious. That's why it comes out with all kinds of conceptions of God. All the fish together, this is a Zen story, all the fish together, they constructed a temple for a god in the form of a fish. And the name of that god is ocean. And they are worshipping that god. We are like that. Because there is bhava all around and within. And we are not conscious of that bhava. And therefore we construct temples and worship Ishvara in a corner. It's okay. It has its own place in the journey. But then that is not what is called God consciousness. God consciousness is you feel God in every object of this universe. At all times, the space-time you have to overcome. Anyway, so you have to train the mind to feel that being, bhavaha. How to do that? Paraha bhavaha. How to do that? I will give a small... In 5 minutes I try to explain it. You see, here is the flower. Now I see the flower. The moment I see the flower, I say, this is a rose. That is what I say. Now, the earlier example is easy example. That's why first that example I gave. Now I am giving another example, which you can pick up, not a big deal. Just a little more thinking is required. I am saying that. So that you keep an open mind. So you need to have an open mind. If you do not have an open mind, then the purpose will not be served. Be open. If not with one class, at least with another class, wherever at least you should have an open mind. This is a rose. Now, I tell you, I ask you a question. This rose, an English word, R-O-S-E, is it of the present? Or is it of the past? You tell me. It is of the past. It is of the past. Then, this is it present or past? It is the present. So you have killed the present with a word from the past. Over. Where is the, now you are rose conscious only, you can never be God conscious that way. Therefore, you don't look at things linguistically. Philologically, don't look at the things. For God's sake, keep the process of mentation aside for a while. Keep the philology aside. Language aside. Language cannot capture the truth, I tell you. Language can help you in training the mind. Language cannot capture the truth. Yato vacho nivartante. Pratar bhajami manaso vachasam agamyam. Vachasam agamyam. Language cannot capture the truth. Language will take you to the frontiers of the known. And the truth is not the known. Truth is unknown and unknowable. Because by the time you know it, you deny it. Already it is denied. Therefore, don't allow the language to intervene. Look at it. Don't allow the language to intervene. Don't allow the words to intervene. Don't allow the mind to intervene. The mind in the form of language to intervene. Don't allow, the mind is cause-effect relationship. It connects it to a plant. Mind is always cause-effect. Don't allow the cause-effect mind, the logical mind to intervene. Don't allow that. And see what happens. You know what happens? You become God-conscious straight away. Therefore, this is, that's all. It is the being. For which you see, you perceive, which is the same as sense. So I have translated, I have converted the words. Seeing is perceiving, perceiving is sensing. You sense, what you sense is not rose. Like what you touch is not my hand. What you sense is not rose. What you see is not rose. Rose is the name given, or the mind has translated the seeing, the sensing, and the translation is rose. And the translation is of the past, is not of the present. And the translation is of the mind. It is not the truth. The rose doesn't say, I am the rose. You say it is the rose. So, do not, that's why, to put it briefly, do not categorize anything. This is what Sri Krishna told. Don't categorize things. If you are connected to the things in terms of ragadvesha, you cannot avoid categorization. That's why ragadvesha become a serious obstacle in becoming God conscious. And then do not categorize people. Just leave them like that. Suhrun mitrar yudasena madhyastha dveshya bandhushu sadhushvapicha papeshu samabuddhir visishyate. Do not categorize anything. Be empty. Look at people. Do not categorize. Look at things. Do not categorize. Be empty. You are conscious of Godhood all the way. That is the paraha bhavaha. So, you see, it is now and here. Only thing is, we have to train the mind not to intervene. And so, the bhava, the feeling, the essence of that feeling, the sense of being, that is Atma. And that Atma is the being, the flower is the being, the galaxy is the being. This is not a small, that is not big. The small and big are the mental translations. It is the being. It is the one being. And I am part of that being. In fact, I am the heart of that being. Aham Brahmasmi. That is the thing. And that being has no death, no birth. That yaha na vinashyati. That is called aksharam. Aksharam brahma paramam. And so one has to strive in that direction to become God conscious and acquire God consciousness. That is the essence of that verse. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om Tatsat Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.